Alright everyone, it's Grimlord here, and this is Grimm's Visual Novel Corner. We are back with Fatal 12. I don't know how much of this I'll be doing, but I know that you guys want me to do Fatal 12. It's Halloween, or, you know, maybe the last couple days we'll be doing the visual novels this month in Halloween Horror Month, so we might as well go ahead and get it started. After classes end for the day, I head out of school with the intention of going home. However, once I reach the gate, I notice Naomi leaning against the wall with her eyes cast down. She doesn't seem to have noticed me, so I call out to her. Oh, Rinka! I was waiting for you, actually. You were? What happened with preparations for the culture festival? I told you about how we hadn't decided on interior decorations this morning, right? Well, there are other issues. Our budget won't allow for us to buy lots of coffee mugs and plating, so we decided to use plastic cups. That's why we thought it would be best to at least make sure the coasters are nice and cute. Coasters and such, but... So, would you mind going with me to shop for them? Only if you have the time, of course. Budget probably isn't their only issue. I doubt they have enough people to wash mugs one by one. It's probably best if they stick to disposable plastic ones anyway, what with all the hygienic issues to consider at such events. I happen to know a place that is exactly what she needs, so I don't see any harm in taking her there. I won't see Miharu until later tonight anyway. So it'll be fine as long as I keep track of the time. Sure, I don't mind. You should have messaged me instead of waiting like this, though. I didn't want you to feel like you had to cancel any other plans, so if you're busy, then please do prioritize that. She trails off, drawing her eyes away from me. It's my fault that she's acting this way around me, so I can't exactly brush her off. Come on, you don't need to worry about that. I know a good place in Shibuya, so let's head there. Alright, thank you very much. With that, we make our way to the station. After we finish our shopping trip in Shibuya, we hop on the train to head home. At Shinjuku, we have little downtime while we wait for our transfer to arrive. Again, thank you so much, Rinka. I didn't expect to leave there with so much. Hey, glad I could help. Naomi struggled to make a decision in the store, so she ended up picking 3 different items for each category. Her plan is to show them to the rest of the class and then decide on which to use. I gotta hand it to you. You're killing it as the class rep. Color me impressed. Not at all. I'm only doing it because no one else volunteered, which is why I'm so impressed with how seriously you're taking it. She must have felt her face burn a bright red as she diverts her gaze from me immediately. From what I've heard, it sounds like she's getting along with her classmates as well. I wouldn't be surprised in her taking charge of the culture festival. Played a part in that, considering how sacred of me she was when she. Yuck. Considering how scared of me she was when we first met, she's definitely come a long way. I guess that makes her the exact opposite of me. Just as we're about to get on the train, she stabs me with a sharp glare. And then she leans in and whispers, "Look, over there." She motions towards someone in the distance with enough subtlety to prevent bringing us any undue attention. That silver-haired person seems suspicious. Silver hair? Let's see. Oh, her! My shoulders stiffen the moment I spot her. Her train hasn't arrived yet, so... Naomi, you head back first. Just a moment. Judging by your reaction, I assume there's another participant? I do recall you mentioning there being two children. Yeah. Numerals 4 and 10, to be precise. Sonya's been eliminated, which leaves only numeral 4. I happen to have her cause of death card, but other than that, I don't know a single thing about her. I chalk up her appearance here as a coincidence, but that'd probably be a mistake. Not only have Sonya and Alan turned up in Shinjuku, but now she has too. There's gotta be a reason. The foggy spots in my mind, memories regarding my cause of death and what Parka explained at our initial meeting are likely linked to the same reason. I shouldn't waste my time trying to figure that out right now, though. Are you listening? Sorry, got lost in thought. How do you know her anyway? I'm not sure why, but he seems familiar for some reason. Plus, I had a rough image of what he'd look like based off your description. Wait, her? Isn't that a boy? Hmm, you think? Looks awfully feminine to me. Haven't we had this conversation before? Either way, their gender isn't the point here. They haven't noticed it yet, so we should tell them now while we have that advantage. The tone of her voice matches a serious expression on her face. The more information you can get your hands on, the better. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't butt in like this anymore. Don't worry about it. I was just thinking the same thing, to be honest. I asked that you head home first because I was going to do it on my own. Sorry for being unclear. Her gaze falls to the floor, and after a moment of consideration, she nods. I'm well aware of the dangers involved. So I'll do as I'm told, but remember that I'm always willing to help. If you manage to snap a picture of them, I can use that to do my own research from home. Just hearing that is relief enough. Thanks. Be careful, okay? I respond with a firm nod before we part ways. Sorry, Naomi. I apologize to her under my breath after we split up. Next, I pick up my pace to keep the girl in sight. After 30 minutes of tailing her, we finally reach what seems to be her destination. Upon leaving Shinjuku Station, she takes the Chō line all the way to a residential district. Judging by her familiarity with the area, she must live around here. She certainly doesn't look Japanese, but there aren't any hotels around here. That means she probably isn't here on holiday with her family, unlike Sonya. That leaves only one alternative. It's hardly surprising, though. Lots of foreigners live in this area. Okay, here we go. She stops in front of and then makes her way into one of the houses. Seems like a pretty old place, older than the houses around it anyway. Another thing that makes it stick out is how run down it is. A decent earthquake could probably shake it down with ease. I'm hardly a pro when it comes to tailing people, but I think it's safe to say that I wasn't noticed. There's no need for me to escalate things yet, so I check out the nameplate at the entrance after making sure she's gone inside. It's a bit faded, but not enough to make it illegible. Ushizuka. Safe to say that's a surname of the house's owner. Does the same apply to her, though? My instinct says no. In fact, it's entirely possible that she's squatting in an empty home for some temporary lodging. Ducking behind the wall of the house next door, I try to eavesdrop on any conversations going on. Lucky for me, I'm able to hear something. Nothing specific, but the walls are thin enough to leak out the voices from inside. Sounds like there are at least two people inside. One is likely the girl, but the other sounds like an old man. I guess that the latter owns this place, which means the girl is probably staying with his permission. I wonder, does my card book work with the conversations involving someone who isn't a participant? Considering I was able to hold a conversation with that one tourist before I even knew anything about Divine Selection, it's probably safe to assume it does. I should head back. It's my best option for now, especially when I can't make out exactly what they're saying. Just as I'm about to walk away, a passerby starts talking to me. She's in her early 40s and is carrying a bag from the supermarket. I assume she was out buying things for dinner. Oh, are you an acquaintance of Mr. Ushizuka? No, not quite, no. I'm taken aback at first, but she might know something about that girl if she lives in the area. When did that foreign child start living here? Oh-ho, I see that's caught your attention as well. Her face twists into a sly grin in addition to her response. I know her type. That's the exact same expression made by kids at school when they gossip about others. No one's certain why, but at some point he just cut off ties with the outside world. He rarely leaves the house, so for a time, rumors kept spreading about how he'd starved himself to death, but then we noticed him lurking around and carried on with our lives. Doesn't help that cases of old folks dying all alone are on the rise, too. But anyway, people first noticed that girl around a month or so back. Rumor has it that there are some dubious circumstances between them. In fact, some say that he used to frequent certain illicit establishments, and that's his child. Oh, goodness me, I shouldn't be telling a young lady such things. That's funny. The look on her face practically screams that she wants to keep going. So no one knows who she really is? That's right. That's right, all sorts of bad rumors surround that man, including his nefarious deeds abroad, so no one wants to get too involved. Of course, nobody wants to risk earning his wrath by reporting him to the police either. I've even heard rumors about how the girl has some sort of illness, which is even more reason for folks to keep their noses clean. You're probably best off not getting involved either. Thank you for the concern. Just listening to her grab on and on is pissing me off. I won't judge anyone for hazarding a guess about something, but using it as an excuse to spread unsavory rumors about him feels wrong. Plenty of older people live by themselves, so why would they make comments at his expense about it? Having given her my thanks, I use it as an excuse of my own to cut the conversation off there. My hunch seems to have been on the mark, at least. I might be able to find something out about that girl if I talk to him. I should head home for now, though. I've still got the store to attend to. I make sure to message Naomi on the train home. I assume she's worried about me, all things considered. No point giving an in-depth report, so I just text a quick summary. It doesn't take long for her to reply, telling me to get in touch if I need help. She said something similar when we split up, too. Something's definitely suspicious about the situation between those two. I'm curious about her thoughts on the matter, but that would just invite the same gossip as that lady. I need to handle this on my own. It's down to me to gather as much info as I can. Instead, I simply reply with an, "It's all good," to which she responds with an emoji. I need to handle this on my own. It's down to me to gather as much info as I can. I could have sworn I just read that. I prep to open the store as soon as I get back. A few people swing by, but no one stays for long because it's a weeknight. Once 9 p.m. rolls around, I close up shop. Miharu stops by around then, just like she said she would.
Yeah.
Hey there.
お疲れ様. コーヒー入れてあげるね.
Hey yourself. Let me get you some coffee.
ありがとう。いいのかい?
Thanks. Should you really be giving out freebies, though? I nod and follow up by telling her that we might be here for a while. After making enough for the both of us, I move over to our usual table. Is it safe to assume you're looking to confirm certain things with me? Yeah. She wastes no time in getting to the meat of things. She takes a sip of her coffee before going on. As delicious as ever. Thanks, but let's not get off topic. That night when I caught you and Sonya discussing something, it was about my cause of death card, wasn't it? Yep, I bet you hadn't anticipated her being in possession of one of your cards. She didn't... She didn't keep it a secret with any bad intentions, though. Apparently she just didn't want you to suspect her even more. I can't blame her considering how I acted when we first met. Anyone in your position... Anyone in your position would have done the same. That's why I made it a point to confirm with her whether or not she had any of our cards. As it turned out, she also had your name card. Right, she mentioned that she regretted her choice, that it would have been better to have thrown her fear of not being trusted away and told us the whole truth. That sounds just like her. No argument there. It's almost upsetting just how innocent that girl was. Memories of us sitting together at this very table come flooding back. It was like we were nothing more than three friends hanging out. 僕としては11番の女性のよう。
積極的に相手を脱落させている相手に僕のカードを取られるのは避けたかった。
You know the numeral XI, numeral 11 is looking to eliminate as many people as she possibly can, so I wanted to make sure she couldn't get her hands on my card. More importantly though, the prospect of her snatching up your card terrified me. And that's why you opted to eliminate Sonya instead. I hesitate to press the issue any further, mainly because it involves questioning how she can be so calm and collected in the face of all this. It's entirely possible that I'll hear something I don't want to if I ask, and yet I end up asking her anyway. How can you stay this calm after elimination? Did it mean nothing to you? Is there any need to waste my time feeling upset? I can't bring myself to snap anything back to her. That's the exact response I was afraid I'd hear. It's not like I don't understand her point. I know that there's no point in being upset. You honestly have no issues taking that stance? I don't. My course was set the moment I learned you're a participant. My life exists solely for yours now. I wish you'd stop saying that. I've heard it more than I ever wanted. I can't help but be blunt. While I expected such a reply, it's still not what I wanted to hear. I don't have it in me to say anything more, though. It's barely been a day since it happened, so I can understand why you're distraught. In fact, your ability to worry like this is one of your stronger points. The tone of her voice doesn't falter. We should probably wrap up for the night. Although, would you mind if I stayed a bit longer? I haven't gotten to finish my coffee yet. My only response is a quick nod. Just as she said, I'm still distraught over what happened. What's worse, I seem to get more aggravated at night. I end up waiting for Maharu to finish her coffee. I can't bring myself to look her in the eye during that time. Not even once. Well then, I should be going now. Mind waiting for a minute? I stop her just as she gets ready to walk out. There's still one important question left for me to ask. Your previous surname was Hibinata, right? I know there have been issues at home and stuff. I was always curious why I didn't have your name card, and then it triggered with Hibinata Miharu rather than Mishima Miharu, so... I'm Mishima Miharu on my family's register, just so you know. Yeah. So it creates a whole lot of doubt for me when it comes to the criteria for creating new cards. Yes, and those doubts aren't unfounded. Our lovely little goddess seems to have skimped on our explanation relating to the process. You could call it a loophole of sorts. I managed to catch the brief glimpse of sadness in her expression. There's no doubt that she's not very comfortable discussing this topic, and yet she's doing her best to act unfazed for my sake. I make no effort to stop her, though. She knows that I've noticed, which is why she's bothering to explain it in the first place. First things first, I need to apologize for not telling you the truth. Her expression grows more pained as she says that. I feel kind of bad about it, so I can only imagine how she feels. The only way I can explain it is by divulging even more about myself. I said that my surname became Mishima after my parents got divorced, but, well, that's not quite right. You know full well that my mother isn't the isn't the greatest person in the world. In fact, let me make it clear that I loathe her. She has talked to me about her mom before, albeit briefly. About her habit of wasting money and her failure to do any chores, for instance. That's why Maharu has several part-time jobs and has to deal with the household chores as well. Unlike most students in Amaka, she's far from financially sound. The only reason she can attend is due to her scholarship. If I had things my way, I'd take my father's surname, but alas, I'm stuck with this one. I sense that there's a lot more to this than what she's telling me. It's likely that everything she suffered, though, links back to whatever that could be. You think that the rules pertaining to our individual cards would be grounded with logic, but that isn't the case. In fact, they seem to rely far too much on one's personal perception. You can't make blind guesses when it comes to someone's cause of death and regret cards. Knowledge of the events surrounding them is a requirement. Each participant's perception of those events takes priority. In other words, there's no universal criteria in place for participants when it comes to creating new cards. That's Maharu's point. In my case, I've yet to accept that my name is really Mishima Maharu. That's why your name card is Hibinata Maharu instead. Considering our cards are linked to the dream world, a deep part of the psyche, I really must be against taking on the Mishima name. Then it must be a lot more logical than you think. Think about it. No one's born with a name. It's on someone else to give them one. The names aren't set in stone either. If it weren't for Keiko, I probably would have agreed with Maharu. But now, this is how I truly feel. Surnames change all the time due to marriage. Not only that, but you can even get it changed legally if so inclined. It's not always cut and dry like that, sure, but the names are something that reflect a still something that reflect a person's individuality over all else. I certainly hadn't thought about it that way. Perhaps my concern about the name was obstructing my outlook on the bigger picture. That's a bit of an exaggeration. Still, I feel like my doubts have been cleared up. Sorry for the confusion. Don't worry about it. We've all got our baggage. You'll always be the same Maharu to me, regardless of what happens. She giggles with a smile in response to my proclamation. And it's not a forced smile either. It is sincere, one of relief. Well, slightly off topic, I was worried that you would start to avoid me after what I said in the Court of Fate. Really? I knew exactly what you were doing. Assuming things went as planned, then some of the other participants may be giddy over how we got into a big fight. I have nothing more to say to you at the moment. The other participants have figured out our friendship because of how we've been talking to each other since the very first election. In fact, Sonya assumed that we were friends from the start, too. The timing couldn't have been more perfect. Indeed, regardless, I should be on my way. Okay, now, there's actually an important bit to these. Let's see. Okay. I figured that's what I was gonna say anyway. Alright. So I've still got quite a bit of choices in this game. Quite a bit. Yep. Oh no, there's a shitload. You have to go through all 12 weeks. Yeah. There's actually three endings, three main endings to the game, three bad endings to the game. Okay. She smiles and makes an ever so elegant exit from the store. Funny, I made coffee thinking we'd be talking for a while, but the real conversation only began after we finished drinking it. I take a moment and stare at Maharu's empty cup before getting back to my usual routine. Already morning. I slept so soundly last night that I didn't even dream. Dreams. Hard to believe such a concept has taken on a whole new meaning for me. I'd never considered the possibility of a whole other world existing within our dreams, not to mention a goddess like Parka coming along and connecting me with others through said world. I mean, who could imagine meeting complete strangers within your own dream? It'd be a romanticized situation if this were a shoujo manga, I'm sure. I cast my mind back to the other participants' appearances. That's when I remember something crucial. One's an old man. Naomi's message from yesterday springs to mind. She said that there's definitely something suspicious about that girl and where she's staying. It's not just any old man either. He's Japanese. That man is numeral 5. I might be on to something. Actually, I should have caught on right away. There's still plenty of time before I need to be at school. I want to try something. My decision made, I make my way to the old man's house. Fortunately, I make it all the way without getting lost. It's a pretty tricky route after all, but jotting down the address yesterday turned out to be worth it. But I probably would have been fine without it, considering I somehow managed to memorize the route. This is it. I make sure to keep some distance away to avoid looking suspicious. It may be early in the morning, but people are still passing through. Once the area empties out, I check inside his mailbox. I feel pretty bad about doing this, but it's necessary. There are a slew of letters in here, definitely more than a day's worth. Most of them are from debt collectors. Not just from one collection agency either, there are multiple different senders. I ignore all that, grab a random letter, and remove it from the box. I want to see to whom it's addressed, of course. Ushizuka Shigetsugu. That has to be the name of the old man living here. Just to be sure, I check a few other letters as well. They all cite the same name. All that's left is to get a glimpse of his face. I consider waiting for him to leave the house, but I need to remain mindful of the time. As important as this is, I still have school. Health said I'm probably safest there, too. Just as I decide to stick around for as long as I can, I notice two figures in the distance. Two figures that I recognize, even. One male, the other female. Both are foreigners and tall. It's them! There's still plenty of distance between us, so I can't make out their faces. Not that I need to. I can tell it's them based on their silhouettes. Not only are they participants, but they're also the most dangerous duo by far. Numerals 3 and 11. Federico Carminati and his partner. I instinctively duck for cover. They have to be targeting the girl. Either that, or they're looking into the relationship between her and the old man, just as I am. Assuming he turns out to be a participant, it's likely they've tracked him down to here. Numeral 11 is carrying a notepad. I assume she's gotten a hold of his address somehow. In that case, they must be coming for him instead of the girl. After all, she wouldn't be listed as living here. Just as I'm deciding whether to stick around or head to school, the front door gets propped ajar. Noticing this, the duo duck into a nearby alley. From what I can tell, numeral 11's the one who prompts them to do so. That surprises me. She seems like the kind of person to leap in when the opportunity presents itself, so I don't expect her to tread carefully. Both the girl and the old man are likely aware of the situation they put themselves in, so it's only natural for them to scout out their surroundings before they leave the house. Deciding that the coast is clear, the door swings open. That's... Light pours out of my bag all of a sudden. The moment that old man steps out of the house, in fact, that's when I become certain that he is Yoshizuka Shigetsugu? I don't know. It's hard. His appearance matches what I saw in the dream world, a tenacious-looking old man. I got the impression he was a shut-in of sorts before, but his current attire of a sweater and loose pants says the opposite. Numero 11 and Federico remain hidden for some reason. Regardless, I've confirmed that Ushizuka's a bona fide participant. It's safe to say that I'm putting myself in danger if I stay any longer. As such, I slink back to the station, taking care not to bump into any of the others. Looks like we were right on the money. I whisper to Odette when the old-timer leaves his house. Shh, you dumbass. She may have whispered, but she also slams her foot down on mine. Gotta admit, she's uncharacteristically cautious at times. You'd think someone massive like her would charge right in, but nope. She even keeps us a fair distance from the house to ensure we aren't seen. Granted, putting this much distance between us means she gets that... her massive body doesn't lend itself to stealth. Enough about her. Let me recall how we ended up here in the first place. Me and Odette had a talk about who to target after the third election, where that crazy thin Japanese lady got eliminated. Odette's intuition played a big part in us targeting Ro, so we hadn't made use of the cards we were dealt at the beginning. Knowing there'd be a name or two among those initial cards, we decided to go after whoever was in my set. Normally I'd be against showing off my cards, but Odette told me which cards she'd taken from Ro immediately afterwards, so... Well, not like she chose what to do without planning to get something in return. Turns out I had that Russian kid's name card, Sophia something something. The kid had been through some rough stuff, but it ain't any of my concern. We took her parents hostage and Odette got to spill her life story. Got her to spill her life story. Thing is, she implied that she had one of Odette's cards. Not only that, but Odette decided to give her some time to screw around. Time to let her get over her regret, really. Can't say why she did it, but there ain't no point in trying to get into that woman's head. I wouldn't have been able to learn much about Sophia with just her name, so I decided not to complain. Had things gone according to plan, Odette would have eliminated Sophia, but that Miharu broad one-upped her. Make no mistake, Odette ain't the type to let something like that slow her down. We're the same in that regard. Plenty of things went awry for me back in Italy, but I never took issue with it. In fact, those situations are when people expose their worst side. You gotta make the most of that. Just like I said in the Court of Fate, two of the three cards dealt to me at the beginning belong to participants that have already been eliminated. Next up is numeral 5, Ushizuka Shigetsugu. Odette had his name card, so we used it to dig up dirt on him, and here we are. Hey, Space Cadet, get it together, we're heading back. The hell? You saying we can't jump the old geezer now and make him squeal? That, or we could break into his house while he's gone. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, this doesn't have a backlog, I guess. I don't know. Oh, yeah, it does. It does. Okay. Okay, I got it. You sure enough oxygen's reaching that brain of yours up in space? Ain't no one crazy enough to do that this time of day, not unless they want to be caught reported to the police.
早朝か深夜にもう一度来る必要がある。ここは住宅街だからな。ソフィアやローの時よりも。
Don't forget, this is a residential district. We can't go wild like with Sophia and Roe. We gotta come back early in the morning or late at night. Only got yourself to blame for that. She smashes her foot down on mine again. Guess she isn't too pleased about the implication that she's the only one that stands out. We didn't get any worthwhile info here, did we? So you think, but it's easy to take a stab at how he died now that we've seen his house. How's that run-down shack gonna help? Oh, now I see where you're going. Heh, you're on point for once, keep going. Figured she'd spill the beans if I acted like I caught on, but that didn't go quite as planned. Now I know not to even bother pretending. She smacks my shoulder before she continues. This is a lonely old man we're talking about. In a country that's become known for cases of the elderly being discovered dead in their homes. No less. Oh yeah, that's true. Yep. Because I watched a documentary on that. Knowing how insular Japan and its people can be, that's probably why it happens so often. Yeah. Hell, apparently they have specialists to deal with the dead and rotting bodies too. Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty sad. Anyway, just remember what the woman told you. It's as big of a hint as you can get. That fatty did enjoy running her mouth. I think back to what she told me. Seems like there were rumors of him kicking the bucket since he rarely left the house. Starvation, huh? You think that's it? Insular as Japan may be, it's a developed country. Wouldn't he have gotten retirement or unemployment benefits or something? Under normal circumstances, maybe. The woman did mention that he had a bad back, right? Yeah, that's right, she did. Don't know why she remembers more of this stuff than me when I was the one who talked to the woman. Back pain sucks. But yeah, don't underestimate lower back pain. A shipmate of mine suffered from it once and they couldn't bring themselves to move even an inch. So let's assume the geezer got hit by it out of nowhere. Well, ignoring the fact that it wouldn't be sudden if he'd been suffering from it before, but... He don't got no one to call for help. Everyone's used to him staying inside so they wouldn't bat an eyelid. Not like he's getting direct care from the government, just disability benefits, so no one there's gonna come check on him. All it takes is a week without food or 3 days without water for someone to croak. Trust me. I can tell she's serious by the tone of her voice. Knowing what she's been involved in, I wouldn't be surprised if her crew had come close to starvation at some point. That or she'd seen it happen to one of her shipmates before. So basically, he starved to death after suffering some crazy back pain, and all because no one was there to help him. It's possible, but would it really happen that quick? Whoa! A familiar light emanates from my book. The sign that a new card's been made. The same thing happens for Odette, too. When she notices, she can't help but grin. It's honestly sickening just how good she is at this. Even so, he seemed well enough when he left just now. Same for that Russian kid. Guess at any participants with obvious symptoms are cured of them during divine selection. You're probably on the right track there. Chances are, everyone's physical condition gets reverted to a time when they were healthy. She nods in reaffirmation after repeating what I said. I half expect her to say she doesn't care, so it takes me by surprise. Her expression reverts to its usual state, and then she turns around. Alright, we got enough info for today, let's head back. We head back the way we came, making sure not to be spotted by Ushizuka. Unbeknownst to Rinka, Alan has been tailing her for the past few days. It brings him to the residential district where Ushizuka Shigetsugu, whose name he has yet to learn, lives. What's more, he has learned the whereabouts of both her school and Lion House. Oh shit. Seeing that she's making her way to school after obtaining that elderly man's name card, he chooses to stop tailing her for the time being. He closes his eyes and recalls her figure. Eliminating her would prove a simple task, were he to actively focus on it. However, a number of reasons prevent him from doing so. The first is her relationship with numeral 2, Miharu. She may have gone the lengths to make it seem like they had fallen out, but Alan witnessed them being friendly at Lion House and confirmed to him that they are still cooperating. One cannot target Shishimei Rinka without first dealing with Hibanada Miharu. Alan has no idea what cards she was dealt at the beginning either, which is the main reason for his hesitation in getting involved with her. Her actions during the previous election show that she cannot be underestimated. She may have eliminated a girl far younger than herself, but she went head-to-head with numeral 11 to obtain election rights. The biggest reason of all, however, is that Alan has found himself under suspicion from Japan's police. His recklessness while obtaining Kamabuchi Keiko's information has landed him in a tight spot. He had made sure to scout out the positions of each camera in the hospital and cut off those he couldn't avoid. But something unexpected happened. He somehow ended up on the list of suspects responsible for the attack on the hospital. Under normal circumstances, he would use illegal means to ensure that he would not be arrested, but his current situation does not allow for that, especially because he holds far less influence in Japan than back in India, where his company is based. He may have some leeway, but now is no time to flex those muscles. Valid as these reasons are, Alan is simply using them as a means to distract himself from the reality of the matter. There is a far simpler reason behind his choice not to pursue Rinka, one that he has noticed earlier. The look in her eyes reminded him of himself. Not only does she lack his amassed fortune, but she is also nowhere near as physically imposing, and yet somehow her eyes burn with a determination matching his own. More importantly, Alan has the chance to learn the old man's name the same way that Rinka did, but he opts not to. To be more accurate, he can't. This is thanks to his spotting a particular duo keeping their eye on the old man's home, numerals 3 and 11. Alan arrived after Rinka's departure, so they likely had no idea she was also there. Numeral 11 is in possession of numeral 5's name card, if I recall. That is more than enough reason to understand why she was here. With sufficient connections at one's disposal, learning where someone lives based on their name alone is a simple feat. What surprises Alan is the fact that someone like her would cooperate with numeral 3. The sheer stupidity displayed in the court of fate had Alan convinced that he could be left for later, but that was no longer the case if he's with numeral 11. It may not seem like it, but Alan has respect for those who have eliminated other participants. Only two people have earned this respect thus far. One is Miharu and the other is numeral 11. Alan can also tell that the latter is no ordinary person. One glance was all he needed to understand her background and the deeds in which she had been involved. Based on what he's seen, she seems to have the upper hand with numeral 3. He must be a foot soldier of sorts. Regardless, I know now what must be done. His target switches from the old man to those two. Keeping an eye on them will likely lead to him getting his hands on numeral 5's information without much effort. Not only that, but discovering where they're based now while unaware of his plans would give him the disadvantage down the line. that may be enough to make up for the disadvantage his celebrity status gives him. He begins to tail the two, taking extra care not to be noticed. Soon after, Alan returns to the residential district. His attempt to tail them hasn't ended as well as hoped, not from being noticed though. Alan trusts himself not to slip up when it comes to that. However, those two must have unconsciously taken a path to shake any potential pursuers. It eventually led to him losing sight of them. My priority should lie with numeral 11, he mutters to himself so as not to stand out. He then makes his way back to his own base of operations. The time has come for him to finally take action. After a long day, I finally have some time to relax in my room. Nothing noteworthy has happened beyond this morning's events, although I guess the fact that my class has finally gotten around to prepping for the culture festival counts as noteworthy. Sounds like they've moved forward with the fortune teller idea. The one in charge will essentially prepare a bunch of fortune telling methods and use them on whoever stops by. They've gone with this plan because the one in charge wants to test out these so-called methods. Fortune telling, reading one's fate. Funny how they've ended up with that after the things I've experienced. At least I'm not involved in the plans or being asked for my opinion. They're just gonna ask me and Miharu to help the day of. Mal, on the other hand, seems fascinated by the whole thing. She'll be helping to prep it as well as work longer than we will during the festival. All I gotta do is act serious and mutter some cryptic stuff. That's right up my alley. Just what you expect to hear from her. I wonder if they'll manage to finish everything on time since the culture festival's in 2 weeks. I bet we're the only class this far behind schedule. Phew! I already feel exhausted and it's barely 10 p.m. Well, it makes sense considering I left the house so early this morning. Yusuzuka Shigetsugu. I repeat the elderly man's name in my head to make sure I don't forget it. Now I have to find out his cause of death and regret, but I'm not quite sure how to go about it. I'm so curious about that girl staying with him, too. While I do have her cause of death card, all I know is that a fire is involved, nothing else. It's probably the biggest issue with the cards dealt to us at the beginning. First things first, I got a plan what to do moving forward. As if things aren't difficult enough, I've got Federico and numeral 11 to worry about as well. Things may have gone well enough yesterday and today, but that doesn't mean I'm a pro when it comes to tailing people and such. It's entirely possible that I'll mess up at some point and get myself stuck in a tight spot. Regardless, I can't sit back and let those two get the upper hand. One option is to throw caution to the wind and approach Yuzuzuka directly, but that's too risky. Numeral 11 would likely end up adding me to our list of targets alongside him and the girl if I did that. I try searching Ujizuka Shigetsugu on the internet, but I don't get any relevant results. Getting info on him without putting myself out there seems tricky. I can't just waltz over to City Hall and ask for his family register when I'm completely unrelated to him either. That's why I'm going to approach things from a different angle. I do have an advantage over that duo. A majority of the participants, myself included, are from Japan. Plus, most are located near Shinjuku, an area rich with schoolgirls just like me. It keeps me from standing out in most situations, which is advantageous. The only issue is that the sole approach I can think of involves questioning the locals near his residence. Actually, that might not be too bad of an idea. I did shuffle over there pretty early this morning, so there weren't many people around. It's probably why those two showed up when they did, too. They aimed for a time when few people would be around. But as for me, I don't need to worry about standing out. It's hardly normal to ask questions about some random old man, but hey, I'll seem less suspicious than either of those two doing the same. If I really need to, I can even pretend to be the granddaughter of an ex-wife or something. I just need to act like Naomi did at the hospital where Keiko was. I'll try going in the evening. Everyone's running around shopping around then. Not only does it give me more people to question, but I can also blend into the crowds if need be. With that sorted, I should sleep as much as possible, so I'll be ready to take action. But just as I'm about to turn off the lights, I hear a distinct meow coming from down by my feet. It's none other than Leth, our friendly little freeloading cat. Lethe. Oh, what is it, Lethe? I always make sure to feed it and have water out, so I doubt it's hungry. It doesn't respond to my question, of course. It'd be pretty freaky if it did. Sorry, but I'm gonna go to sleep. I want to give it some attention, but I'm also a bit too tired tonight. I flick the light off and clamber into bed. Lethe follows suit, which is rare. It prefers to sleep atop the covers, not under them. This little rascal has the habit of using my stomach as its pillow, too. I stroke its head for a moment before shutting my eyes and focusing on sleep. It's amazing how warm something with such a tiny body can be. Well, she's got a kitty. Uh-oh. There's a term for when one realizes they're dreaming. Lucid dreaming. Ever since Divine Selection began, I've experienced it at least once per week. Granted, I'm not sure that you can call what goes on in the Court of Fate a dream. Whatever. I find myself once again in a strange place, despite knowing for a fact that I went to sleep not long ago.
Yeah.
Hey there. I'd say, been a while, but I'm not sure if it actually has been or not. Don't comprehend you humans' perception of time too well. I've seen this man once before. It's only now that I remember having met him in my dreams before, though. I take it you remember me? Or remembered me just now? Like, how you've lost some of your precious memories? It's a foregone conclusion that you'll forget everything that occurs in this dream. I want to say something, but I find myself unable to speak. He dominates the conversation. It may be a bit rude to say this when you run a coffee shop, but I'm actually a lot more interested in tea. In fact, I've been aching for some good afternoon tea for a while. Alas, not only do I have no one to talk to here, there aren't any tea sets to use either. Such a shame. This man knows who I am. I'm not sure how important that realization is when I'm likely to forget everything he says, though. Well, enough pleasantries for now. There's no time to waste on those when one of your lost memories has made its way back to you. It's precisely for that reason that I made the effort to bring you here and offer my congratulations. Which memory, you ask? Oh, it seems I appeared before you actually recovered the memory by mistake. Understanding your concept of time is truly a difficult task. Its flow may be linear, but the rate at which it moves always throws me off. Anyway, do take this opportunity to recall some prior events before morning comes. I'm standing alone in the Court of Fate. I'm on the same platform as usual, but for some reason none of the other participants are here. Good evening, you poor lost lamb. I'm afraid to inform you that you have become a slave to fate. A girl dressed all in white addresses me. It's Parka. She stands in front of me despite the fact that there's no solid surface beneath her feet. I watch from a distance as both of us face one another. I conclude that this is one of my memories since I'm able to watch myself as though I am a third party. Your spirit has found itself roaming the corridors of fate after your passing. Fear not. Fate has changed its course, and thus you would become a participant in Divine Selection. She begins to tell me about Divine Selection. She explains all the rules. I watch myself try to get a word in every now and then, but she ignores each attempt. Everything she's explaining here is the exact same thing as what she told us during the first election. Memories of an explanation I'd heard before. This must have taken place right after I died then. Considering the in-depth explanation she's giving, it's no wonder she was unimpressed with me when I asked her about it again. Well, remembering this explanation of rules I already know is more pointless than one would expect, too. However, do keep in mind one thing. Fate initially foretold that all 12 participants would gather in the same place at the same time 12 weeks from now.
到達していたはずの場所、その場所こそあなた様方の運命の終着点となりますわ。
It is a place that bears significance to all involved, even if that future has now been lost. It is what will be referred to as the final destination for your individual fates.
選定で最後の一人となられましたら、必ずその時までにその場所へ向かってくださいませ。
Should you find yourself as the last remaining participant, please make your way to this place.
運命の終着点にたどり着いて初めてあなたが死の運命を回避し、
Reaching the final destination will serve as proof that you are alive and will thus overwrite your death for good.
もし運命の終着点にたどり着かなければ、それはその時のお楽しみということにいたしましょう。
As for what would happen should you fail to reach it, well, I would hate to spoil the surprise should that come to pass. She didn't mention a specific time or place. Instead, she placed her finger on my brow, she closed her eyes, and then her finger began to glow. She didn't need words for this part. With that touch, Parka etched the final destination into our minds. And now we're ready. Alright, guys. That's all we're gonna do for this time. I don't know when we'll jump back into it. Not real sure. Let's see. Friday, maybe we could jump back into it. I know I haven't done a lot of this one. But I did kind of say that there was gonna be... Not really sure. Sadistic Blood is done, so... Maybe... do this and maybe something else. I don't know. More maggot baits? I don't know. We'll figure something out. But at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out for Grimm's Visual Novel Corner with Fatal 12.